Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, when he was led out by the Spirit to be tested, the first thing that he responds is this. It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Abraham. Abraham is our father in this. He too lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. It was promised to him that he would be given a son, and that through his son, his descendants would be named. And they would be as numerous as the stars of the heavens or as the sands of the seashore. That son was given to him many years after the promise. Abraham, the Bible tells us, was 100 years old when Isaac was finally born. And some years later, our Father in heaven tests Abraham. He calls to him, Abraham, and Abraham says, here I am. It is the Hebrew word in the Old Testament of submission, of subordinating yourself to the one above you. Here I am. It is the same word that Isaiah says, here I am, send me. Here I am, he says. Take your son, God said to him. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, your beloved son, Isaac. And sacrifice him to me on this mountain. The book of Hebrews says that by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, whom he loved, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. And he considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Abraham does not pit one word against the other. He clings to every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so he takes his only son, the son whom he loves, and he travels to the land of Moriah to offer up his son upon the mountain which God had directed him to go. And so they ascend that mountain. At this point, Isaac is somewhere between 15 years old and 25 years old. He is not some small boy. He is either at the very beginning of his manhood or coming close to the peak of his strength. And he says, Father. And Abraham says, yes, son. Behold, the fire and the wood for the sacrifice, but where is the lamb? The Lord, my son, himself will provide a lamb for the sacrifice. And so here too we see the submission of the son to the father. That at the almost peak of his strength, and perhaps at the very minimal of Abraham's strength, Isaac willingly carries the wood for his own sacrifice up to the mountain upon which he was to be sacrificed. He carries the very instrument of his death to the place to which the Lord had called him to go. And in the act of Abraham doing what the Lord had commanded him to do, to sacrifice his son, his only begotten son, the son whom he loves, through whom the promises were given, the angel of the Lord calls out and stays Abraham's hand. Do not touch the boy. For now the Lord knows that you will withhold nothing from him. And he receives him back as though he is raised from the dead. And after 3 days, they return to the young men. For man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Every word. This is not just a type of the resurrection we can even see here. A picture of our Lord's own sacrifice. That in submission to his Father, the Lord takes on flesh, becomes what he is not, sets aside all of his divine rights, carries his own cross to the very place where Abraham bound his son and nearly sacrificed him. For this is the place where Abraham binds his son. This is the place where the temple is built. This is the place where all the sacrifices prefiguring the once-for-all sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ would take place. And this is the place, just outside the city gates, on this mountain, where Jesus is crucified, having carried his own wood, the wood of the cross, up to the mountain. But there will be no other lamb or ram caught in the thicket, because this one is the lamb which the Lord has provided. This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And though he is God, and though, as he makes plain to Pilate, as well as to all the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, you would have no power over me unless it has been granted to you by my Father. And it would only take one call from me to the angels and the archangels and my armies to overcome anything that you would do. But he goes willingly, just as Abraham, just as Isaac, because Jesus knows that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus did not come into the world to do this, by this great difficulty, by bearing his own wood for the sacrifice, enduring the shame of the cross to make life easier. He did not do this to keep the status quo. For Christianity never makes anything easier, because there is a cost to Christianity. It is not a call to an ease, but it means sacrifice. It means duty. It means clinging to every word that comes from the mouth of God. And that raises a question. The very question that is put before the Jews of Jesus' day. Who is your father? In other words, who are you listening to? What words and from whom are those words coming? Are they coming from the God who does not lie? The God who gives life and raises life? Or are they coming from the father of lies and the one who kills and murders? Are you listening to every word that proceeds from the mouth of God? Or are you clinging just to a few and ignoring the rest? Are you clinging to the ones that make you happy and ignoring the ones that call you to a higher purpose? Jesus says, if Abraham were your father, as you say he is, then you would do what Abraham does, or what he did. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it, and he was glad. Abraham saw that day, and the day that the knife was stayed, and the angel of the Lord spoke to Abraham, "Do not touch the boy." He is watching that day even then, when Jesus is speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees, because God is the God of the living, not of the dead. And so Abraham is alive, watching all of these events play out. He is seeing Jesus' day, he is rejoicing in it, and he is glad. Meanwhile, all those who say that they belong to Abraham are lying about Jesus, saying that he has a demon, and finding and seeking a way to kill him. Even his own disciples are not rejoicing in the day the way Abraham rejoiced. When Peter says, "Not on my watch, this will never happen to you, Lord," wouldn't it just be better to stay up on the Mount of Transfiguration in 3 tenths, and wouldn't that just be easier? But Jesus did not come to make life easier. He came to bring life out of death. The purpose of man, Jack London once wrote, is not simply to exist, but to live. And he goes on then to say, therefore, I will spend my days not trying to prolong them, but to use them. Jesus came to give life and to give it to the full, so that we would rejoice and be glad even in the difficulties in this life by clinging to every word that comes from the mouth of God. And that behind every difficulty, we would see the cross of Jesus Christ and the fruit therefrom. that you do not get the resurrection and the glory of the life to come without the cross and the passion. That no matter how difficult it may seem or how difficult it may get, that we would stare down those difficulties in life with every word that comes from the mouth of God at our back, following also the word of God who became flesh, who paved the way for us. And so what Jesus here is describing is a life that is lived out in love. And not the saccharine, sweet kind of love that is promulgated today on greeting cards and the like, but the kind of love that puts everything to risk. That husbands would love their wives in this way, that they would gladly die for them. That wives would love their husbands in this way, that they would submit themselves to that reality. That fathers and mothers would love their children in this way, that they would sacrifice being liked by them in order to do what is right by them. And not just when they are little, but when they are even the age that they are strongest, as it was the case with Abraham and Isaac. That we would not simply seek to prolong our days, but live them by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Our Lord has done this for us in his cross and resurrection. He has told us uncomfortable truths. He has shown us in the mirror of his own word our own failures. And he has taken them to his cross along with the wood that he has carried there. And he has nailed them to the tree and buried them in his tomb, and they are there forever. But he is alive out of the grave. And he has promised by his word to give you life in his body and blood, which to be sure takes away your sins and gives you life and everlasting salvation, but also strengthens your faith, that is, strengthens your resolve to cling to every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so as you receive his body and blood this day and every day henceforth, renew in your minds and in your hearts that resolve, which we feel sometimes this time, sometimes in another age. Renew that resolve to live by every word that comes from God's mouth. In the name of Jesus. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus into life everlasting. Amen.